ثم قال: والمسح على الخفين للمسافر 3 أيام وليلهم وللمقيم يوما وليلة. فإن بعض الفرق الضالة كالشيعة الرافضة أنكرت المسح على الخفين. فها هو الإمام أحمد في موضع الفتنة وفي موضع المحنة يتكلم على مسائل فقهية، مبينا أن المحنة أشد محنة وأن الفتنة أعظم فتنة تصيب المسلمين لا تجعلهم يتساهلون في أمر السنن أو في بعض شؤون الفقه. وهذا رد عزيز عملي تطبيقي من الإمام أحمد على بعض الجهلة الأغبار اليوم الذين إذا سمعونا نتكلم في السنة والبدعة أو في أحكام الشريعة طهارة وصلاة وزكاة وحجا قالوا لنا: لماذا لا تتكلمون في الجهاد؟ والأمة اليوم مستعبدة والأمة مقهورة والأمة كذا وكذا، فلماذا تتكلمون في هذا؟ هؤلاء الجهلة يحسبون أننا إذا سكتنا عن بيان الفقه وإذا سكتنا عن كشف البدع كأن الذل يرفع عن الأمة، بل العكس هو الذي يجري. فإننا إذا تكلمنا في الدين كله، علمه وفقهه دعوته وعقيدته وسائر شؤونه، فإن ذلك بمنة الله يرفع الذل وينزعه. وأما إذا سكتنا عن بيان أحكام الشرع وعن تعليم الأمة فإن ذلك لا يزيد الأمة إلا تيها، ولا يزيدها إلا ضلالا، ولا يزيد عدوها إلا تجبرا وتسلطا. فافهموا وعوا وتمثلوا وتأملوا نهج هذا الإمام الهمام رحمه الله تعالى. ثم قال: وإذا دخلت المسجد فلا تجلس حتى تركع ركعتين تحية المسجد، والوتر ركعة أي أقله ركعة. تأملوا بالله عليكم، مسدد بن مسرهد أشكلت عليه أمور العقيدة في الكلام وفي الإرجاء وفي الإيمان، يسأل الإمام أحمد عن هذه المسائل، فإذا به يكتب له منهجا كاملا سواء في العقيدة أم في الفقه أم في الأخلاق أم في الأحكام أم في الإيمان أم في الموقف مع الصحابة أم في ذلك كله وغيره. وما هذا إلا تربية منه لمن بعده ولمن معه أن الدين كل لا يتجزأ، كما قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا بالسلم كافة. يقول ابن كثير: أي طبقوا الإسلام بكليته دون تفريق بين كبير وصغير.
And then Imam Ahmad, he goes on to many several points of fiqh or fiqhi matters in which many of the deviant people have been misguided, and it is only to show that these matters, even in this time of fitna, they are not easy matters but they should be adhered to. Therefore he goes and says, and there is no nikah, and no nikah which is valid except by a wali, and the woman must have a wali. And okay, there is no nikah except by a wali, i.e. in the nikah you need to have a wali, the khati, the one who is proposing, and the bridegroom, and of course 2 witnesses. This is very important. And then he goes on to say, 2 righteous, trustworthy, and adli, 2 witnesses who are the witnesses that can be taken. And this is because many people have claimed, even though they're Muslim, that when a woman or a girl becomes 18 or 16 or whatever the age is, that her matter is in her own hands, and you can take her and she can marry however she likes without having to have a wali or the 2 shahid. This is not the case. Rather, he has to have a wali, and he quoted the hadith: there's no nikah which is valid apart from with a wali and 2 shahidain. And then therefore this is refuting these things. Why? You'll find that at the end, inshallah. And also he went on to say, and the text goes on, and that mut'ah is haram until the day of judgment. And this is a rub against the Rafida and the Shia, who until this day practice this practice of mut'ah, i.e. temporary marriage. they sign a contract and marry them for an hour or two or a day or whatever they do. This is haram until the day of judgment. And this is being shown by many, many texts. And the texts that existed have been abrogated. And Imam Shafi'i says that mut'ah is zina, is fornication, to show its haramness, that it is haram. But nevertheless, these foolish people, the Shia and the Rafi, they still persist to do this, and they are doing sinful deeds. Mut'ah was allowed in the early days of Islam, and then it was abrogated and no longer allowed. And the hadith are plentiful. You can all refer back to the books of hadith. And then he goes on to say, and that the giving takbir in the janazah prayer is four. And if he makes five takbir, then make five, make the fifth one with him. This is showing again that the takbir in the prayer, again, he's showing that this is a sunnah, that adhere to the sunnah, don't be negligent of the sunnah. And therefore this is a matter that he's hiding. Imam Ahmad is hiding the point. He's making an inference, a strong highlight, that it is allowed to make four takbir in the janazah prayer, which is shown, or up to nine, five, six, okay, all of them, four, five, six, seven, eight, up to nine. All these are shown in the clear sunnah. But four is the one which most people do. So if one does it, an imam does it, you follow him in it, because it is shown. This is the wisdom of Imam Ahmad, is showing these things. And this is given to who? Mustaddad, one of the scholars, one of the teachers of Al-Bukhari. Because to him, the matters of the fitna, of aqidah, of manhaj, became confused. But Imam Ahmad wrote for him a manhaj, a complete methodology. In aqidah, in the methodology, in akhlaq and in fiqh. Because in these fiqh matters, there were people who were around at that time who had deviated in them and who were belittling them. And then he goes on to talk about and wiping over the khufayn for the traveler for 3 days and nights, and for the one who is stable or sitting, and he muqeem, who's not non-traveler, then one night and one day. Again, because the Shia and Rafida, the deviant sects, they rejected these things. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal is showing you luzuma sunnah. These are the sunnah of the Prophet, so adhere to them. Even though he faced bigger fitan, he was telling this alim, all these things have to be adhered to. And then he goes on to say that, and that if you enter the prayer, if you enter the masjid, then do not sit down until you make two rak'ats. And they are known as the tahiyya, and the greeting prayer for the masjid. And witr is one rak'ah. Look at what he's saying. Matters of fiqh, simple matters, but this to an imam of sunnah, to mustaddad. Do you think that these matters would have escaped him? But rather, he's writing down a manhaj which is kamil, shamil, complete and perfect for him and for those who come after him. This repeat is complete in everything. And he's telling you and those people at that time that do not belittle these things. Do not think that these things are small matters, but these matters are the ones that show who are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
ثم ختم الإمام أحمد وصيته ونصيحته وتوجيهه بكلمة عظيمة، فقال: أحب أهل السنة على ما كان منهم. كأنما يشير إلى أمرين، أما الأول فهو أن السنية إنما يكون سنيا بأصوله العلمية والعقائدية والمنهجية، والأمر الثاني أن الخلل أو الزلل أو الخطأ الذي يصدر منه بصفته إنسانا وبشرا يخطئ ويصيب، فإن ذلك لا يقدح في كونه سنيا. فأحبوا أهل السنة على ما كان منهم من خطأ أو خلل أو زلل. ثم قال: أماتنا الله وإياكم على السنة والجماعة، أماتنا الله وإياكم على السنة والجماعة، ورزقنا وإياكم اتباع العلم، ووفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه. كأن هذا منه رحمه الله إشارة إلى قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. فالآن أقول: أماتنا الله وإياكم على السنة، ورزقنا وإياكم الاتباع، ووفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
And now Imam Ahmad ends his treatise, or this treatise to Musaddad, with some great important words and words of magnificent status. And in this is a great indication to two things which we shall come across. But before that, in the last section, I just remind myself that the fact that Imam Ahmad wrote these fiqh matters was in adherence to a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah: "Oh, you believe, enter into this deen kafa completely." And Ibn Kathir said, "And implement all of Islam." So this is what Ahmad ibn Hanbal was pointing to. Going back to what the Sheikh said just now, he said, "And love the people of Sunnah because they are upon, i.e. because they are upon the Sunnah." And we stop here and say what the Sheikh said. This is showing two things. First thing, that the Sunni, he becomes a Sunni because of what? Because of usul he follows, and in his manhaj and his aqidah, his fundamental guidelines and principles that he follows in his aqidah, his belief, and his methodology of understanding the deen. This is pointed to by this thing, by loving the people of Sunnah because of what they are upon, i.e. their manhaj and their Sunnah. Second thing, that a person may make errors and mistakes, and this will come from because he's a man and he's fallible, he's due to these things. But therefore, even though you still love him, as long as his usul are okay. And then Imam Ahmad goes on to say that may Allah take our life, and may my life and your life, upon the Sunnah and upon the Jama'ah. May Allah guide us, guide you and me to knowledge and the following of knowledge. And may Allah give us the success and the tawfiq to that which He loves and that which He is pleased with. This is again an indication by this great scholar, this Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to one thing, a hadith, that indeed actions are but by the final action, i.e. you could be doing righteous deeds from day one to this day, but then you die upon kufr. So it is upon judging what you die upon at the end. Thus Imam Ahmad asks for dua for these things, ittiba' sunnah, to be upon the sunnah, and he asks for tawfiq for what Allah loves and what he is pleased with. And then the Sheikh says that he himself finishes this meeting with making this dua: that may Allah guide us to ittiba of ilm and of the sunnah and that which he loves. And he ended his talk. And with this we finish, inshallah. And may Allah reward Shaykh Ali Al-Halabi for his patience in going through this text. And may Allah reward you brothers for being patient with us in listening to the sharh of Shaykh Ali. And may Allah forgive me if I have erred in my translation. And wa bilahi tawfiq.
Wa jazakum Allahu khair.
Shaykh Ali, Jazakumullah khair to Brother Abu Tahir, Brother Abu Safwan, Dr. Dawood Abdullah for the translations and Ashuyuku theme here over the weekend. Ikhwan, Jazakumullah khair to yourself and the sisters for attending. And I would say, without doubt, I think you will agree with me, that these last 3 days, inshallah, that the ilmun nafi' has been in abundance, inshallah ta'ala. And we just ask that we can go forward with this now, inshallah ta'ala, being clearer on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I'll ask requests for the brothers, please. The Sheikh has been putting through a grueling schedule from morning right up until night. So I would ask you, please, let's show the respect to our Sheikh and allow him to leave and go home to rest peaceably, inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow, for those who still haven't had enough of the Sheikh, and none of us have, he will be in Luton tomorrow, repeating the talk of last night, holding on to hot coals. But for those who cannot travel, we have our Sheikh, alhamdulillah, another beloved Sheikh, Abdullah Al-Fasi, who will be here tomorrow, 7 o'clock, biznillah. And I ask you, brothers, make dua for our Sheikh in his travels when he leaves on Thursday, and for all of us here, inshallah ta'ala. The title of Sheikh Abdullah Al-Fasi will be announced tomorrow, inshallah. We're going to leave it to the Sheikh to talk about which he sees fit in this particular society, inshallah ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم.